World Famous Phil Henry Show here at the El Pacifico. Good to have you guys with us here tonight. Robert Leonard with us, Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray. We're here till 10 o'clock every night, Pacific Standard Time, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're with you tonight as well. Just right off the top here, I saw this story that we did yesterday, last night I should say, that I found to be rather interesting because I had seen this exhibit, you know, when it came to Los Angeles.
Now, that's that thing I called, it's called the Coon Today.
It's not, it's called Entartete Kunst, am I right?
Entartete Kunst, which is German for degenerate art. And it was a display that the Nazis put on in the late 30s to show the German people an example of what was un-German, very degenerate, very disgusting, despicable art. Well, naturally, it was some of the finest art that Germany had ever produced. It was Otto Dix, Max Beckmann. These were some of the great, truly some of the cutting-edge artists of the day in Europe. And these are people that fled Germany, as so many other artists did, to get away from the Nazis. And this display, years and years and years later, was reconstituted, if you will. It was put back together again, and it went back on tour here in the United States and elsewhere so that the rest of us could see this. And what the irony of the whole thing, and really the humor of it, was that it's called degenerate art, but it's actually fantastic, beautiful, modern, amazing work. And I was fortunate enough to, well, I don't know if I'm fortunate enough. I mean...
Well, all you did was get in your car and drive.
Yeah.
That's not exactly being fortunate unless you're fortunate to have a car.
Right. That's why I didn't think I was fortunate enough. I was...
You're fortunate enough to have an alarm clock.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't call that being fortunate, having an alarm clock. I can buy one of those.
Well, you're fortunate to be alive.
Yeah, I'm fortunate to be alive so that I could have an alarm clock in a car to get into the car to drive. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Why are you making an issue out of it?
I'm just saying I was fortunate enough or I was smart enough. It just sounds rather...
It's like a little egotism.
Yeah, it sounds kind of egotistical. Gee, I was smart enough to go see. But anyway, I went and saw it. Let's just put it this way. I was really interested in seeing it, and I did. And now, folks, the reason why I'm mentioning this to you, a very interesting thing has happened in Germany. There's an old guy in Munich, some old man, that has an apartment there that the Bavarian police, that's the state of Bavaria, which is a part of Germany, as you know, the Bavarian police raided this guy's apartment 2 years ago. And from that raid, they confiscated various pieces of this confiscated art that had not yet been returned to its rightful owners. Now, at the end of World War II, the United States Army and the armies of other allied countries had, in the U.S. Army, it was called the Monuments Division. And these were guys that went in behind the troops, and they were looking for things like this, confiscated or stolen or hidden art. What had the Nazis done with this? This is stuff that belongs to the world. I mean, it was taken out of museums. It was taken out of homes. It was taken from, you know, the owners of this artwork. So, you know, literally, the victorious powers at the end of World War II were looking for all this stuff. Some of it was hidden by the Nazis in tunnels. Some of it had been confiscated by the higher-up officers of the government. This guy, Hermann Göring, had stolen it and put it into a railroad car. And that was hidden someplace. So they had to find all this, and they were pretty successful in doing it. They found a lot of it and eventually returned it to the rightful owners, except in the case of the Russians, who had such a major, you know, issue. Well, and who can blame them? They had such a major issue with Germany. They said, well, you know what? I think we're just going to keep it. So how do you feel about that? Yeah, you have to. Well, that's too bad. We're keeping it. We're putting it in our museums, and now we're going to call it ours. And that's just how that went. But anyway.
Well, was it German art?
Well, it was just confiscated. It was just art that the Russians had found, that the Germans had stolen. So anyway, 2 years ago, the Bavarian police raided this guy's apartment. He's some old guy, as it turns out, was the son, the old guy who had the apartment. We had his name last night, and I'm looking for it in the story. He was the son of the guy who was in charge of confiscating, stealing, if you will, this art for the Nazis. This guy took this art and hid it. He didn't turn it over to the Allies. He didn't turn it over to the countries that that had won the war and that wanted to, you know, account for this lost art and return it to where it belonged. He held on to it. And when the German police went into his apartment, they found, folks, this is a staggering amount, $1.4 billion $1.4 billion worth of art. This old guy was selling this stuff, man.
Yeah, this guy's selling off every time he needs some money or something. But like having, like a retirement fund.
Well, he's a billionaire. If they never found he's a billionaire.
Yes, he's a billionaire. This guy's a billionaire. And obviously he was living real low-key, real, down low, whatever, and nobody would have mistaken this guy for a multimillionaire. But the guy has got $1.4 billion. The artwork is from, and I saw this, the exhibit, and it's amazing stuff. It's surreal. It's modern. It's some of it is very ahead of its time. Otto Dix, one of the great surreal artists who came out of Germany in the early 20th century, Ernest Kirchner, Max Beckmann, Mark Chagall, if you don't know that name. Mark Chagall was a Russian who spent time in Germany, whose art was eventually... This is actually Mark Chagall, the Russian painter, was actually... maybe he was living in Russia at the time, or the Soviet Union. Other artists were Courbet, Renoir, Toulouse-Lautrec. We're talking about some amazing stuff. The Oxford State prosecutor, Reinhard Nemitz, confirmed the hoard was found by chance, arising from a money laundering spot check on a guy by the name of Cornelius Gerlet, who's 79 years of age, and it was on a train from Zurich to Munich in September of 2010. After a background check on this guy, Gerlet, they raided his, quote, squalid Munich apartment in February 2012, not 2011, as reported by Germany's Focus magazine. It took 3 days to remove 1,400 paintings, sketches, and lithographs hoarded by this guy, Gerlitz, and collected by his father, Hildebrand Gerlet, who was charged to find international buyers for art dubbed degenerate by the Nazis. So get a load of this. The Nazis steal this stuff, call it degenerate, and decide they'll sell it off to fund their little projects, whatever the hell those are.
Yeah, like dropping bombs on people and stuff.
Yeah, killing people.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's...
Well, they did a lot of different things to earn... They had slave labor in Germany and everything.
You mean they didn't pay nobody?
No, they didn't pay nobody. You got that right. About 120 works were in frames and stored on a shelf, while the rest were unframed and stacked in drawers. They're now being stored at an undisclosed location. Bavarian authorities said yesterday they did not know where Gerlet was now. We have no context. It's not... See, one of the things that the press is trying to figure out, and the police are going to have to answer for, where is this guy?
What do you mean?
They can't find him.
What do you mean they can't find the guy? Stole it.
Yeah, they did not keep track of this guy. What kind of a police effort is that? Oh, look at this. You have $1.4 billion. Where's the guy? Maybe he took off. Maybe he's a fugitive. Maybe he wasn't home when they raided the apartment. I don't know. Maybe he's dead. Maybe he's in one of these drawers.
Yeah, maybe they'll pull him out of the drawer, man, try to hang him on the wall.
Get the audio.
Anyway... We have no contacts, as said Mr. Nemitz, who's the Augsburg prosecutor, adding that they did not have enough information yet for an arrest warrant. Well, oh, is that you're still putting together the information for the arrest warrant? Meanwhile, what you guys ought to do is maybe stake somebody out, anybody, and find out where this guy is. Restitution experts criticized the Bavarian handling of the case, no kidding, in particular the 19-month gap between the raid and the press conference. It's extraordinary that we're only finding out about this now, said Peter Schink, a Berlin lawyer who regrets his name,
Let me see that.
I'm kidding. You have to grab that.
Too bad his name ain't Shrink.
Peter Shrink, a Berlin psychiatrist. Yeah, that'd be good. Anyway,
Isn't that cute? Would you just read the story?
I'm reading it. He said, we have to find a possibility for concerned parties to check if any of the pictures found in Munich were once owned by their families and to give them possibly some legal recourse. There it is. That's interesting. We'll get back to more of that. And Ron Tarn is going to be with us. We also have Rudy Canoza on the show tonight to discuss some of these election returns that have been pouring in. The re-election of Chris Christie in New Jersey, and if you heard that, he is now...
That's the fat guy, right?
Yeah, bud, that's the fat guy. I mean...
You can call him the fat guy, man.
Well...
Yes, it's the big guy. He got re-elected, and they're predicting, I think they've projected that McAuliffe is the winner in Virginia. But we'll have all of that for you and more when we return here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this Tuesday night. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. And don't forget, I'm going to be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest the end of January and guesting on A Drunk History on Comedy Central coming very, very soon. We'll have details on all of that for you. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. If you're a Backstage Pass member, then you get access to our video cast every night of this show, and you would have had access to last Saturday's bonus show, in which I was doing tequila shots, Utica Club beer.
Hey, that's pretty bitch. Very happy on that.
Yeah, the guys that sent me the Utica Club were very happy.
Now, who are these guys?
Elliot Haas and some buddies of his from upstate New York who are now living in the Los Angeles area. And
I'm calling Los Angeles. People don't think you don't know how to talk good.
Well, isn't that just too bad? I don't care. I mean, I'm joking around when I say Los Angeles. Although there's a lot of people say Los Angeles, you know.
Well, it sounds hillbilly. And as I've said to you before, there's a lot of people who write me emails and they think you've gone Billy. So
yeah, you're going to go Billy on them.
What do you mean going Billy? I'm just joking around. Anyway, now I forgot what I was going to say. You guys are pissing me off when you butt in like that.
You talk about Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Robert. On Saturday, we did... I was almost like warming up for Drunk History. And Derek Waters, the producer of the show, sent me an email today. Said, very good. Very nice. I loved it. I watched Saturday. Very good. You were really slamming those tequila shots, and you had your stuff together.
Now, what did you talk about?
I did three topics. I did, I can't remember, but I know, no, I'm just kidding. I do remember. Lincoln, the Lincoln Assassination Commission, William Bly's logbook, and Operation Barbarossa, which was Germany's invasion of Russia. And as I said before the show, you know, because I got an email, not an email, I got a Facebook message from this former fan who was really angry at me because of some political point of view that I have. And he was going on about how I'm some kind of a 60s hippie and this and that. And, you know, the guy couldn't be more wrong, but nonetheless, that's what he said. So I fired back, well, you're just a Tea Party, you know, scumbag, something like that. And he got all upset. I'm a Tea Party. So I'm thinking, well, if you don't want to be, you know, lumped into one big ugly category, don't do it to other people. And the guy had sent me a return message saying, well, I had been drinking when I sent you that original message.
He'd been drinking?
Yes, he'd been drinking. And I thought, well, that's no excuse. If you can't hold your liquor to the point where you don't know, you know, you don't mean what you say when you've been drinking, or you're saying things that are... I consider that to be, and maybe I'm... You know, maybe I'm a little hard ass about it, but I don't think if you are saying things you don't mean after you drink, if you're doing anything that you don't think you should have done after you've been drinking, I think you got a drinking problem, personally.
Well, I think that's a little bit harsh. Are you saying that everyone, you know, Phil, we had a cocktail party at our home a couple of years ago, and I remember I got into the pool and I wound up, I'm trying to remember if I took my bottom off. I took the bikini bottom off. And I auctioned it off.
What? That's really gross.
Excuse me. Does he have to talk?
Easy. You auctioned off your bikini bottom.
Not my bikini. Yes, the bikini bottom. Auctioned it off. Top dollar.
How did you do that? You were in the pool?
Yes, I was in the pool. I said, here, Frank. And I threw it to him. Now I'm nude from the waist down. The next morning I woke up. And I have to tell you, I didn't stop vomiting until after lunch.
Okay, hold it. So we don't have to hear that part, all right?
Well, I'm just giving you... I wasn't really clear on what I'd done. I was full of regret and doubt. I must have even considered taking an overdose of pills. And yet...
Are you kidding?
No, I'm sort of kidding, but I was full of regret and doubt... And yet, I don't think I'm an alcoholic.
What? You?
Excuse me, I'm not talking to you, Junior.
Well, Margaret, if you did something like auction off your bikini bottom and the next day you didn't stop throwing up till after lunch and you were full of doubt and regret to the point where you thought of overdosing on pills and you don't think you have a drinking problem...
No, I don't think. I don't.
Well, I mean, that's my opinion anyway, and... Because the reason I said that is after what we did on Saturday, I was 3 hours on the video cast on Saturday talking about all this stuff, doing shots of Don Julio Añejo and knocking back Utica Club beers, and there ain't anything that I said on that show on Saturday that I want to take back, that I regret, that I don't remember saying, or that I have doubts about saying, or have, you know, problems with saying. I'm fine with everything I did.
Well, isn't that great, Phil? I was at a party. I was drinking vodka. It was a long day.
All right. Well, I'm not saying I'm a better person than you. I'm just saying if I were you, I'd look into some of that stuff. All right. I want to talk with Dean Wheeler. Dean is at the Grove in the East Bay of San Francisco tonight. His wife, Emerelda, is appearing there doing a set of her songs. You know, I don't know, they're Emerelda's new, if the CD is out yet, Dean, or not. But it's good to have you on the line with us. How are things tonight?
Well, Phil, it's going pretty good, and Emerelda's going to be on stage here in a moment. We have started the CD sales on CD Baby, and we also are doing sales of our CD on a couple of other file-sharing sites. So we think that we're going to do far better than were we to be with the record company and have them steal most of the profits and behave inappropriately with my wife, you know.
Well, is that how you feel a record company would deal with her?
Yeah, Dean, this is Margaret. Isn't that a little bit a contentious viewpoint?
I don't think so, Margaret. I think you're in the entertainment business. You've been writing about it. We went into these record companies. I went in with the very best of intentions. I was on my best behavior. I was affable. I was personable. I picked up. I don't know how many lunch tabs I picked up. We were into our savings one month because I had bought so many lunches for so many record company executives. I've been replacing the horn player in her band one a week for the last 6 months.
What is it with the horn player in that group? I don't understand the problem you're having.
It is a moral. It's a moral issue, Phil. It's got nothing to do with the way the guy plays, although I'm not a big fan of the way these guys play trumpet like it's like they're pouring syrup on pancakes. It's just too loose and too oozy, okay?
What do you mean oozy?
As in the machine gun?
No, not the machine gun. As in
syrup?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it oozes down?
Well, yeah, it, not that it oozes down, but yeah, it, you know.
All right, okay, fine.
But when you say, all right, okay, nine, it's like you want to blow past what I'm saying. These are things that I feel.
All right, I want to get to this whole idea of your relationship with the record companies. You say you went into your savings one month.
Yeah, I was buying lunches. I was buying dinners. We were out, taking, you know, people out. I don't know why I'm so shaky tonight. We were taking A&R guys to dinner and having private, rehearsals, private, what do you call them? I forget what they're called now. But when you have a private show on a stage.
A showcase.
Yeah, I guess it's a showcase, but long story short, none of it did any good. And I would, we'd go to parties, I would bring gifts for their kids. One of the guys that runs a record company over here in Santa Monica, I brought his kids stuffed toys, a train set. I even helped with the payment first month of his kid's car, his teenage son. You know,
you're kidding, Dean. That is way over the top. You shouldn't even be going there. You shouldn't do that. You know, that's completely unnecessary.
Dean, I think a lot of those people might even think of that as being a little intrusive and a little much.
What people?
The people that you're doing that for. If you're spending money on the first month's payment of someone's teenager's car, I don't know.
It would have been nice to hear this. So you're telling me what? You're saying...
I'm saying that people are going to see that as a little bit too friendly, like you are trying to buy their favor, you know?
Well, no, I don't know, and I don't... when has it ever been bad to be nice to people? But the bottom line is...
Yeah, what did it get you?
You're right, it didn't get me anything. It didn't get us anything, and we're still playing places like this, the Grove, which is a nice bar, and it's... It's a cabaret, but it's a step way, way down from where we started in San Francisco 6 months ago when we were over at Bloom's and places like that, you know, where we were treated like royalty, and now we're in this dump, you know?
Dean, to me it sounds like you're a little bit despondent, and I we'll get it off of music here if you don't mind and talk about politics.
That would be fine, Phil.
Okay, great. And we'll do that. What I'm going to do is let you take a break here, Dean, and maybe get a glass of water. So he sounds like he's shaking, bud, so you might want to ask him if he's okay.
Yeah, hold on. Hey, Dean, are you doing it?
When we get into the commercial break, if you don't mind, okay?
Sorry.
Why does he always have to tell you that?
What?
Why does he always have to tell you that?
What?
Never mind. Why am I always telling you, bud, not to say this stuff on the bloody air, you know?
What?
You know something? You're deaf.
Take it easy. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Enemy Show. We got Dean Wheeler hanging with us here from the Grove there in the East Bay of San Francisco. We're going to talk about Chris Christie and all those guys that won and the guys that lost, too. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is a highly dignified song. I think, in fact, what you're hearing is the music that is introducing Governor Christie now to the crowd. Hey.
No, it is not. No,
I'm just kidding. Cuccinelli is giving his concession speech. He's looking bummed out, and he's probably thinking, man, that guy Jackson, he did it to me, and when I get off this bandstand here, and when I get off this dais, I'm going to go find Jackson, and I'm going to strangle the life out of him. Thank you.
That's a terrible thought, Phil, even though I don't agree with Cuccinelli or whatever is Cuccinelli. The thought that he would find his lieutenant governor running mate and strangle the life out of him, I think, it's not even close to funny.
Okay, Margaret, thank you. We'll take that under advisement. I wasn't looking for a big belly laugh. I just thought I'd...
You thought you'd what? Bring in the idea of a strangler into the Virginia governor's race? Here's what I think of that.
How did I know you were going to do that?
Yeah, that's not even original no more.
Oh, well, thank you.
Boy, that's very hostile, Margaret. Anyway, Chris Christie is the winner in Jersey, and Terry McAuliffe is the winner in Virginia. The guy that we're talking about, Cuccinelli, his running mate, this guy E.W. Jackson, this guy is strictly a mental case. I'm telling you right now. I mean, ask anybody. Ask a Republican. Ask Republicans what they thought of this guy. He was way, way out there. Anyway... Dean Wheeler coming on the line here from the Grove in the East Bay of San Francisco. As we're talking to Dean, his wife is on stage there performing this evening and singing. And Dean, I do wish you all the best with Emerald's career. I think I think she's got great potential, and I know that it's just a tough business.
Well, we've got our fingers crossed, Phil, and we're hoping for the best here as the new. Season approaches, because most of the live money, most of the live shows people spend their money on between the months of October and April, we find. So we're getting right into the wheelhouse of that, and hopefully we're going to, and she's on stage right now, so if I lower my voice.
All right, so let's talk about the political race here. Chris Christie winning in New Jersey, a Republican, but a moderate Republican, a man who is... was the object of a great deal of ridicule. People castigated his efforts on behalf of his state because he was seen sort of glad-handing and working with President Obama.
Well, it just goes to show you the small minds they have there on the Republican side of things. How can you be such a pea brain that you can't recognize that this is what a man has to do to be a great leader? You have to sometimes reach out and shake hands with the guy across the street. And that's what I think this man, Chris Christie, did. And I think that more of our leaders should do that. The problem that we have with Christie, that I think is all Democrats we would have, he doesn't present the best physical example of a leader. And as a liberal Democrat, and I am a progressive Democrat, and I make no apologies for that, I believe in keeping physically fit and bringing into my body only those things that are whole grains, nuts, fruits, berries, things that do not have any genetic mutation or modification. I don't drink any milk per se, use any dairy products, although I'm not putting that down. And I think a big fat man like Chris Christie probably gives the example of someone who pumps an awful lot of that milk fat into his system. So that tells us something. The fact that the New Jersey State Police wear hats that are very reminiscent of the SS in Germany. You were just talking about the Germans. I'm looking at a New Jersey State officer right now. He's wearing a hat that's pulled his eyes.
What does all of this have to do with... Where are you going with this?
Yeah, what does this mean?
What does it mean? It means I'm sorry.
Are you distracted by Emeralda singing?
I am. I lost track of what I was saying.
You don't even know what you were saying.
No, I'm sorry.
Have you been drinking?
Have I been what?
Have you been drinking?
Yes, I've been drinking.
Okay, this is exactly what I was just talking about, folks. This is exactly what I was just talking about.
Well, don't talk about me like I'm not here.
No, I'm not. I'm going to talk to you. But here is Dean. He's been drinking tonight. He's worried about his wife's career. And he's supposed to be commenting on Chris Christie. And he gets into a rap about dairy fat and the fact that the New Jersey State Patrol wear their hats too far down over their eyes so they look like SS.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, that's exactly. And you don't remember saying it.
I'm sorry.
Dean, I don't know if this is going to be any good to talk to you tonight as long as you're sweating Emeralda on stage. Is she doing that poorly?
Well, the place we're in is a real toilet bowl. I just don't... I had big hopes.
Okay, you know, snap out of it, Dean, because you said you could come on and talk about this.
I'm on. I'm talking about it, okay? Hey, way to go, baby. What do you want to know?
All right, do you think that governors, that leaders, that people in high office in the United States, more and more of them are going to reflect the kind of guy that a Chris Christie is, a guy that's a guy that can work with people, the moderate, if you will?
You know, Phil, a moderate is just a guy that can respond to any situation. A guy's a moderate who's a pragmatist. It's become a dirty word in our country, you know, the word moderate. The word moderate is almost like saying something about going to the bathroom. If you call someone a moderate, you're talking about them as if they're what people go to the bathroom for. You know? Hold on for a minute. Hey, baby? Honey? She doesn't want to talk to me.
Okay, I'm going to let you go then, Dean, all right?
Why?
Why are you letting him go?
Because he's talking crap. You know?
Yeah, that's right. I am talking crap.
Yeah, he said it. People will go to the bathroom.
He's talking horse dung here, okay?
Exactly.
No, see you later, Dean. He's not concentrating. He's thinking about his wife's rotten career and her rotten singing, okay?
How dare he? If Dean heard that, he would be upset.
Well, let him be upset. Because, frankly, while his wife is a good singer, she's not a great singer, and he'd do better if he would think about what he's on this radio show for. He's on this radio show to be talking with us about these elections, not his wife's career. And what was going on there?
He's chasing her, trying to talk to her, and she won't even talk to him.
Yeah, see, I think what's going on with him now is she's failing so miserably that she wants nothing to do with him. And he's following her around like a love-struck fan.
Well, that's just pathetic. Really pathetic. All right, Larry Grover, Conservatives of Kern County, joining us here on the Phil Henry Show. And Larry, you've been following the news, I take it?
We have been following the news very carefully, Phil, and you got it right. Chris Christie's the winner there. McAuliffe is the winner in Virginia. And McAuliffe won by about 1.5%, over 1 million votes, over 1 million votes of 1,005,154, and Jen Cuccinelli, 976,469.
Let's get this man's name right. It's Cuccinelli. Okay, everybody?
I'm sorry, it's Cuccinelli.
Yeah, you got that, Larry?
Yeah, Cuccinelli. I was looking here very, very briefly. I didn't have a chance to, because I haven't followed the Virginia race as carefully as I did the New Jersey race, and I figured, I got to tell you, Phil, I thought this thing was in the sack for the Democrats when I saw the polls that said 51-39, but the rollout of Obamacare has been such a disaster that this guy... I'm sorry.
Cuccinelli.
Yeah, the guy Cuccinelli. I'm doing the best I can here, Phil. I'm trying to work with you.
No, that's fine. You know, Cuccinelli's his name.
Yeah. Cuccinelli is... Turn that up, will you? Hold on, Phil. Here comes a return now.
These historically low interest rates may not always be available.
Well, talk to me while you're waiting for it. Talk to me while you're waiting for it.
Turn it down, baby. I'm out on a date tonight. Her name is Virginia, as a matter of fact, and we're on our way to see a movie. We're going to see an art house film that she wanted to take me to see, something called, what is it called? Jimbo. Have you ever heard of Mojimbo? Is that what it is? Joe Jimbo. I guess I'm not saying it right. She's getting angry at me.
I've heard of a Kurosawa movie or some name like that. I'm not exactly sure.
What's the guy's name?
Kurosawa, the Japanese director.
Is he a Japanese? She's not even talking to me now. I think it's called Bojimbo or something like that. It's a Japanese. It's an art house movie she wanted to go see. But I can tell you that the election of Chris Christie, I think, doesn't spell relief. I'll tell you that. I think it spells trouble for the Republican Party, as insofar as the Tea Party, because the Tea Party has been holding on by its fingernail for the loyalty of the Republican voter, and so far the only thing the Tea Party has been doing is stinking the room up everywhere they go. Now, I've had great sympathy for the Tea Party. I've been a big supporter of the Tea Party until I saw them starting to lose elections, and I saw them starting to act as sort of, blankety blank in the wood pile, and now I hate them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. And
well, that's very interesting. I mean, how consistent ethically is that?
Yes, if you're a Tea Party man, and then all of a sudden they're not winning elections for you, and you turn your back on them, what does that make you?
All I want to do is get some conservatives elected into some key offices in this country. I'll lay down and sleep with the devil, as I've said before. I'll lay down with the devil.
Isn't that Ted dirty?
What'd he say?
He's asking, is that... No, it's not dirty.
Dirty? I'm not saying literally lay down and do it with the devil. I'm saying I would get into bed with the devil if it meant I could get some conservatives elected.
Yeah, you'd let the devil do his thing with you.
No, I would not let the devil do his thing with me.
Well, then why are you using the term... Use another comparison.
Why should I use it? That's a perfectly good... Get into bed with the devil. I'm not talking about us having sex together. Are you kidding?
Then what are you going to get into bed with the devil for?
Because it's a figure of speech. It's a figure of speech. You get into bed with the devil. Okay?
Yeah, what are you doing in the bed? Sleeping?
Yeah, you're sleeping. No, you're not sleeping. Yes, there is... you're having a physical exchange with the devil, but it's not what you're... I would never, ever turn into the devil's catcher's mitt. You understand? If anything, I'm the pitcher. And
okay, the more you talk about this, Dean, the further... Or Larry, I should say.
Oh, now I'm sounding like Dean, huh? That guy that's PW because the wife has got a lousy horn player.
No, Larry. I'm sorry, Larry.
Yeah, you're not PW. You just got a mom that's all getting on the phone.
What is it with this guy Dickman? All of a sudden he's got the big mouth, huh? You know, he was fun having around for laughs, but this is business, okay?
Hold on for a minute. We got to take a break. We'll get back to Larry. What is it? Isn't that from On the Waterfront?
Yes, your brother Terry was fun for laughs, but now this is business. I don't like this. Yes, it is from On the Waterfront.
Yeah, I thought so. All right. What's
that mean?
Never mind. I'll tell you later. I'll tell you when you're older. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com online right now at philhenryshow.com with our video cast, and we got Larry Grover on the line from Culver City, California, talking to us about these election returns. Chris Christie, Terry McAuliffe, and other issues like medical marijuana in Michigan that they will start to sell from actual pharmacies. That ought to be really interesting. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Shake it, babe. Uh-oh. What happened there, man? I just did a really weird thing. And what is the weird thing I just did? I hit a button and everything went dark on the video cast. But who cares, you know? We're a radio show, first, last, and always world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And welcome back here. And McAuliffe is on the stage there in Virginia, and he's about to give his victory speech. And the only reason why I was, and I have Larry Grover on the line here. Larry, obviously you're disappointed in Cuccinelli.
You know I am, Phil. I'm a little disappointed. We all had high hopes for Cooch.
Why do you know his nickname is Cooch, and yet you thought his name was Cuccinelli?
What difference does that make? Yeah, I thought his name... I knew his nickname was Cooch.
Well, then why'd you call him Cuccinelli?
Because that's what it says. Next, any other point you want to make? You know, I'm here on this radio show tonight, Ms. Gray, to talk to Mr. Hendry.
I am on the panel, and I just wondered if you knew what the man's name was.
I think that Cooch did. a great job.
Okay, all right. Just back up, Margaret, a little bit. We got that figured out. He thought his name was Cuccinelli, but his nickname is Cooch. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. And please don't draw any connection between his nickname and what you and your friends call a certain part of a woman's anatomy when you're sitting around drinking wine in an alley. Okay?
I don't drink wine with my friends in an alley.
Or wherever you go to have your fun, because I know that a lot of you guys use that term as a dirty word. Now, cooch, see, now I don't even want to say it.
Well, why did you bring that up?
Because that's what his nickname is. And we've called him Cooch ever since.
You know, I didn't say anything. You said Cooch. Let's call him Cuccinelli, okay?
All right, Cuccinelli. I think he did an admirable job. Let me just say this, Phil. You know, I was enamored of the Tea Party like a lot of people until I saw them beginning to get us beat everywhere they went. When I saw the Tea Party handing us defeat after defeat after defeat, when I saw the Tea Party murdering us everywhere we went, those bastards would show up and they would turn victory into defeat, lickety-split, pretty as you please, as that guy Bozell says. That's when I said, I gotta back away from them. I gotta get away from them, man, like they are a bad smell. And I guess we didn't back up far enough because, Cooch, boy, that bothers me saying that now, you know.
Well, you know what, then call him Cuccinelli.
You're drawing more attention to it the more you get worried about it.
No, you're right. Cuccinelli, I think, would have been a great candidate, but this running mate of his, this Jackson, this guy, as you said, Phil, was a very strange man. He had some strange social views. Excuse me, had strange social views. Very, very bizarre guy, and didn't do us any favors at all. As soon as he got picked as the running mate, I don't understand why it is the Republican Party, back east especially, out here in California, we got enough problems, why they can't put their foot down and say, no weirdos tonight, Mom. Okay? Because that's what's going on with the Republican Party right now. We get weirdos in there and we can't get elected.
Well, I mean, it looks like I said this, and I believe you referenced it, Larry, at the beginning. Leaders like Christie may be the kind of guys that, the kind of Republican leaders that can get elected that reflect a fiscal conservatism when it is needed, but certainly are pragmatic enough to recognize that they have to do what they have to do to help their state survive, to help the people of their state survive. That working with a president, especially a president, doesn't mean you're a traitor to your party. And these kinds of things, and not be so, I don't know, it just seems like those cats, those Tea Party cats, are radical. I've always had the same feeling about the progressives.
Well, Phil, if there's one thing that I've never really liked about you, it's that you're scared of the progressives, you're scared of the extremes. You don't want to take a step, you don't want to walk out there on the edge and stand there and say, okay, here I am. I'm out here on the edge. I'm working and living on the edge. I'm walking on the wild side, like this guy Lou Reed, who just passed on, God bless him, rest his soul. He said, hey, let's walk on the wild side, huh? And he was talking about cross-dressing, which I don't endorse, but he was walking on the wild side.
Yeah, put that together with Cooch, and you've got a real platform.
You know something, Ms. Gray, you can be a smartass all you want.
I'm not trying to be a smartass so much as what I'm saying here, Larry. You're hardly the one to talk about going to extremes.
What do you mean I'm hardly the one? You're
bringing up Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side, about cross-dressing.
All right, it was a bad example, okay?
Talk about being in politics, cross-dressing, and cooch.
I already pointed that out.
Let's grow up a little and get off of cooch and cross-dressing. So the future, you would say, lies with the kind of Republican leadership that a Chris Christie provides as opposed to these extreme Tea Party types. Now then, how is that going to happen? Is the Republican Party in any position to shed the Tea Party people once and for all? Are they in any position? Do they have the guts? Have they got the people? Have they got anybody in a leadership position, anybody with the personality, strength of character, and strength of conviction to tell the Tea Party people to go take a freaking flying finienza, as my dear departed father used to say?
I don't know, Phil. It's a great question. I think we all looked to Boehner to see if he had a pair. There are times when I think the Tea Party... See, the problem is there are times when the Tea Party does some good. I know that Cruz was a pain in everyone's you-know-what. It was like having a softball jammed up there, that Cruz. It was like having a softball up there without any of that, you know, the stuff, the preparation, you-know-what.
I understand.
All right, so, you know... But at times you want to have a Tea Party guy to kind of hold defeat to the kind of just say, hey, let's mess things up a little bit because it's going too fast. It's going too, you know.
Even if the change is good, even if it's something the country needs.
What do you mean even if it's something the country needs? Like Obamacare? You don't know that. And as it turns out, Cooch was right. And I'll use his nickname here. He should proudly say, hi, my name is Cooch. And I was against Obamacare. And why? Because the whole thing is a cluster you-know-what.
There's a big difference there, Larry, between a computer, a website not working, and the idea of health care being a bad idea. Big, big difference. There's a website that doesn't work. That doesn't necessarily mean that Obamacare is a bad idea. All right, we're going to be back here in a world-famous Phil Henry show. We have Rudy Canoza joining us tonight. We have Dave Oliva coming back as well. We'll be looking into other news stories. The mayoral race in New York City has concluded. They have a new mayor in New York City as well. And more on this stolen art story, which I think is fascinating. And we'll find out what these guys are saying, McAuliffe and Christie. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
That guy's name is Cooch. You ought to say it.
You knock it off with Cooch.
Woo!